Today on the Provoke and Inspire podcast.
We go over to this, under this tree. I told him, I said, you know, the world lies to us and it tells us we're accidents. I told him about Jesus. I told him everything. And he's like, man, I've never heard anything like this before.
People that are doing extraordinary things are following through on the simple things. They're just actually doing the things that so many people talk about.
If I have the thought come to me like, man, I don't have enough courage to share Jesus with somebody, then I'm just like, dude, that's such a lie. Jesus has all the courage in the world for me to share him with others.
Welcome to the Provoke and Inspire podcast, a lively discussion about how to follow Jesus in secular culture. My name is Ben.
Yes.
I am. I'm the host of this show. I'm the frontman, creative director for the band No Longer Music, and author of the book Jesus in the Secular World, Reaching a Culture in Crisis. We also have on this podcast David Pierce. He is the founder of Steiger, the worldwide mission organization, the wearer of boots, and the author of four books. We have Luke Greenwood,
hey,
the
Ben,
European director for Steiger.
Yes. I have another book coming out too, not just, you know.
Oh. Okay, yeah. Well, we'll get to that. Luke Greenwood, frontman for
Hello.
The rock band The Unrest and the wearer of a tiny suit.
That's right.
And Chad Johnson, former founder of Common
Lead,
former A&R guy for Tooth and Nail Records.
I am pure artificial intelligence over here.
Yeah, the possessor of the world's shiniest forehead. This has been a train wreck so far, but we really do appreciate your loyalty and your support. If you've been someone who's listened for a while, would you consider subscribing? Would you consider rating and reviewing this podcast to help us get the word out? Just to give you an idea of what is coming up today, we have Punching Through the Awkward with Chad, which is a weekly look into Chad's Holy Spirit-inspired risk to share the love of Jesus in his everyday life. We have David's Random Story, and he was kind of annoyed by my description before. So David's Random Story is a short yet awe-inspiring tale of courage and hope.
And it's also...
How's that, David?
It also has kind of a like a... unexpected twist that brings kind of a strange warmth to the soul.
There's a subtle whimsy that warms the legs and fills the... I got nothing. And then the main
it
topic for today...
It sounds strangely like a Nigel quote, that.
Yeah,
sounds like Nigel's described it.
Well, he may have. He may be a silent contributor or a ghostwriter, if you will. And the main topic today is a continuation of a series we started last week based on my book, Jesus in the Secular World, Reaching a Culture in Crisis. We are following the model of this book to challenge and encourage ourselves and you how to be more relevant in engaging the secular world. So that is what we're going to do today. So we will launch at the beginning, as promised, with Punching Through the Awkward with Chad.
Uh-huh. So, hey, I was...
wow.
Oh, man, I'm so distracted because I'm trying to find the review, the Apple
okay.
iTunes review thing.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, I can't actually even find our podcast through iTunes. I have to go to Google, type it in, then click on it. It's the dumbest thing ever. I don't know what's wrong
with me. It's
definitely
there, by the way, for those of you that are now worried.
It's what?
Yeah.
It's definitely
on iTunes.
That's
why they don't rate
it. It is on iTunes.
They can't find
it. It's here. It's just, anyway, I can't find it. Never mind. So, okay,
circle back.
For anyone who maybe didn't hear last week's podcast, this conversation today is really... was really inspired by last week because David challenged me to be more focused on talking about Jesus, bringing up the cross, the power of the cross. And a couple of things came up with that. David and I talked for a little while after that podcast. So we had a little secret powwow. Ooh. But what I disclosed
podcast.
To him then and what I'm disclosing now in humility is that I think that I finally have realized that a certain level of awareness has come to me, which is that my passion and my zeal for Jesus over the last couple of years has been slowly and steadily on the decline. And and it sucks to say that. And I wish I would have realized it sooner, but it is what it is. And so when David, the first thought I had when David challenged me was like, man, I don't have, like, I'm just, right now, I'm just trying to to stay alive in Jesus. And I'm striving in the Lord, not thriving in the Lord. And so the whole idea of like now, like stepping up, raising the bar of risks to say, hey, Jesus loves you and there's power in the cross. And he's, you know, like to be that person was my initial thought was like, there's no way. And I'm kind of frustrated at David for publicly challenging me, you know, like that was my initial thought. But then as the Lord has a way of doing, it turns out that David's challenge or his prompt or whatever you want to call it was actually, I think it actually was the Spirit of God speaking way deeper than just like, hey, what would it look like if you actually made Jesus the center of your risk taking again? And so, dude, I've had the most amazing week. I've been on fire. I've been taking risks everywhere. I've been telling everybody about Jesus.
Wow, that's awesome.
I feel like I have so many stories right now that I was like, which one should I share? Because I just feel like it was almost like the Lord's just been releasing me of some of these weights I've been carrying around of like, okay, I've got to try to be the risk guy and just allowing me to live from a place of love. And so the one that I want to share with you guys is a guy named Pete. And on my flight from Nashville to Detroit this past Saturday, I sat down next to him and immediately I was like, this is like, all right, this is when it really all it all comes together or it doesn't at all. And so I just right away gave him my hand and I said, hey, my name's Chad. And he said, hey, I'm Pete. And then I said, well, you know, I started making small talk, you know, like, hey, what do you do? And blah, blah, blah. And then I felt like, you know, I need to start incorporating my story, like my testimony more into my conversations with people where there's an opportunity. And I just said, man, I used to work in the Christian music industry and God really convicted me that I was living in sin. And I was a porn addict. I was a drug addict. I was a workaholic. And man, I had an encounter with Jesus driving on the road to my office in Seattle. And so I started the conversation like this and it just kind of freed me to be able to then ask him, you know, like, hey, so where are you in faith? And I just began sharing about the cross. And I said, man, the reason that Jesus means so much to me is because of the cross and what he's done on the cross. And I went through and kind of described the power of that. And he just said, you know, I've never really thought about the cross that way. And he said, you're so right. You know, like we just, and so it turns out he was a believer who was struggling with faith. And I was able to give him my book. I was able to pray over him. God gave me prophetic words for him. He was like, man, I feel like my journey with Jesus is like starting all over. And so anyway, I just want to honor David for being willing to, I want to honor you, David, for being willing to challenge us, because I know that probably doesn't come easy in the sense that it's sometimes the response isn't positive. And I just, man, I feel like I am a fresh new person that doesn't, that's like, whoa, dude, everything's new again. And I just want to hang out with Jesus all the time. So thank you, David.
That's really cool, Chad. You know, part of the challenge of when you feel like God is wanting you to challenge somebody is that you have to respond to it yourself. You know what I mean? So I thought, okay, I mean, I can't say, Chad, you need to be more straight about the cross and then not do it myself. So a few days ago, Ben will know, I was at the Long Beach, which is this kind of,
it's a fantastic beachside cafe.
Sounds like where I'd like to be today.
Yeah, yeah.
And pizza.
So, and there's this guy there, his name's Damien. He's like 22 years old, something like that, early 20s. Just this cool cafe dude. And I don't know if, for those of you that don't know anything about New Zealand does not have the reputation for people being exactly open to Jesus, especially, you know, when they're, right, Ben? And so.
Yeah. No, it's very, very secular.
And cynical kind of and whatever. Mm-hmm. But I thought, nope, I'm not going to listen to that.
No.
And so. Mm-hmm. I go, hey, man, because he's leaving for Australia in a few weeks. And I said, I got to pray for you. And he's like, what? And he's going, he's like all freaked out. He's like, you know, it's like he was all nervous. And I'm going, dude, when you get a break, you know, we'll just go over here to this park and I'll pray for you. And the whole time he's like freaking out about it. But he was like, so he's like, okay, you know. So we go over to this under this tree. And basically I told him, I said, you know, the world lies to us and it tells us we're accidents. And I talked about how God is not a father who abandons us, but a good father. I told him about Jesus. I told him everything. And he's like, man, I've never heard anything like this before. And so I prayed with him. He said, can I pray for you? He said, yeah. And I prayed with him. And he said, I've never been prayed for. I've never prayed before. He was completely blown away. And I plan on tomorrow going back to that cafe and giving him a new testament. But again, it just broke, you know, awesome. It's just this lie, you know, that we can't talk to people about Jesus, you know. And in fact, like you were saying, Chad, when we start to do that, when we stop listening to those lies, that's when we become alive. That's when our spiritual life comes to life. So, man, if you're listening to this, you need to talk to somebody about Jesus. Be straight this week. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll just close really quickly with this.
Yeah, no, you're good. You're good.
So as soon as David challenged me last week and we were off the podcast, here's what I wrote down that was the lie that I was believing most about whether I could love people well and share Jesus and talk about the cross. And I wrote down, I don't have the courage to share Jesus with others. Mm-hmm. And that's really where my heart was. And that's in large, you know, even though there have been days where maybe I do have courage, largely I've found myself in the last year or so just feeling void of the kind of courage I once had. And then I asked God, then I wrote down this kind of like the, what I would call the liberating truth. And it just went, Jesus has all the courage that I need to share him with others. And so I just throughout my day, if I have the thought come to me like, man, I don't have enough courage to share Jesus with somebody, then I'm like, dude, that's such a lie. Jesus has all the courage in the world for me to share him with others. And he's with me and he's in me. So,
No, and there's a couple things I want to say. I mean, first of all, now maybe similar to Luke, I'm like, dang, I don't have a cool story.
How do you know that?
Oh, come on, Luke. Make one up. No, you might have a cool story. But I think what's there's a lot of things that are so inspiring about what you said, Chad, and part of it is that it's his courage.
Yeah.
And so it's not operating out of a self-propelling thing. You're not trying to push yourself. Mm-hmm. You are tapping into what God has for you, the thing he wants to do through you. And I think that's maybe the mistake a lot of people make is they – you know, we live in a day and age where I think especially in the youth culture where kind of taking crazy risks and doing bold, stupid things is kind of idolized.
Right, exactly.
You know, like there's a lot of YouTube channels of guys, they'll do dumb things and it's really usually typically kind of obnoxious. Some of it's more lighthearted and fun and some of it's not that good. Yeah. But it's kind of predicated on this adventure-seeking lifestyle where you don't care about the rules and the establishments and you just take crazy risks. And I think we make a mistake if we think it's like that. Because that's just like a pressured thing where it's like almost peer pressure and you get around some other people and you do it to show off to them or you do it because they push you to do it. And I don't think that is ultimately sustainable. I think it comes from having a deep presence of God inside of you. You know, you know, they talked about the apostles and how they were like, wow, they noted how amazing they were and that they had been with Jesus. You know, they could see that their courage and their ability to say and communicate and be bold was not a reflection of their schooling or their intellect or their approach or methodology, but the fact that they had been with Jesus.
Yeah.
And don't you think again, this isn't what we expected to talk about, but I prayed before we started, Holy Spirit, if you want to take this another direction, do it. So whatever. But Luke, don't you think that's part of it? Like if someone's listening, don't sort of get peer pressured or inspired by these examples from like a human way, but maybe start by saying, Jesus, I need to have that courage too. Can you give that to me?
Yeah, I agree. And although I joked before, I felt the same way, just challenged by Chad and David's stories and their willingness to step out. And I think that for me personally, I often I feel like we complicate things too much, and we talk about being Christians or doing things for God, and we don't get down to doing the most simple things, like, and most important things, like sharing Jesus. And I think that often it is, that creates the pressure when we make it so complicated, and we think there has to be this way in which I'm going to do it, or it has to have this impact, or I picture it in my mind. I have this romantic idea of what it is to share Jesus or to preach the gospel or to be involved in this kind of ministry. And I miss the point sometimes, you know. Yeah. We can have meetings about talking about Jesus, or we can go to church every Sunday and preach about talking about Jesus, and not do the most simple thing, which is share Jesus with the person on the plane sitting next to me, or the person sitting in the cafe next to me. And I've felt challenged by that over a period of time already, where, like in our mission, we'll be strategizing, or I'll be going to these meetings and talking about ideas for the year. And really none of it makes any sense unless it's about sharing Jesus in that way. And so I think we have to stop making it complicated, or stop putting this pressure on ourselves, like you said, Ben, of like doing something that other people are going to think is cool, but just going and sharing Jesus, just telling people the truth about what's happened in our own lives and who he is.
Yeah. And there's a tough tension there, isn't it? Because it's like, I feel kind of almost sheepish and hypocritical. It's like I spend a lot of time in churches trying to lovingly inspire people to tell others about Jesus. And like you said, it's like we have all these conferences and seminars and books. And it's like, I don't know. Like you said, we got to just do it. I remember when I was in Colombia, I don't know if I shared this already. I don't think I did. But, you know, we're doing all these things on stages, you know, we're in a lot of what we do is kind of this big high impact evangelism stuff where we're in front of 1,000 people or 2,000 people. And I'm feeling, you know, that's a lot of what I do. And throughout that process, I felt this conviction, like God wants me to see everyday people in my life. He wants me to not live an offstage, onstage life. He doesn't want me to see missions as something I do out there and then don't take it here. And as I was kind of reflecting on going home with that new understanding, I really felt like God said, well, what about that cafe you've been going to every day in the morning before the shows at night?
Right.
Like, are they not everyday people? Like, what about them? And so I was like, and so I grabbed Valeri, because remember, he was kind of my accountability partner in Kippy. And it was the last day, and I said...
When's Valeri going to be on here, by the way?
Well, as soon as he learns how to speak English.
Oh, okay. All right. He's coming. All right, Sarah, carry on.
He's great. But anyway, I said, guys, we gotta go pray for the cafe people, right? So it's this little hole in the wall, super nice, served us coffee all week. And, you know, I didn't feel like doing it, but it also at the same time wasn't that hard, because I think once you start to kind of operate and ask God for eyes to see people that way, it kind of is like, how can you profess to do this on this grand scale and then miss people that are right there in front of you all the time? You know, and so it was fine. They were like, hey, can I pray for you? And they're like, totally. And I shared that Jesus loved them and that he wanted to set them free and forgive them. And we prayed for the owner and the girl working there. And they were, you could tell they were super touched by that. So yeah, I totally agree that we need to err on the side of just doing it, not overcomplicating it. And that I think we can often be guilty of being so concerned with the methodology that we forget to just take the risk and do it.
Yeah, I think I think you said a couple of things, Ben. You know, like when you can get. I can remember this guy that kind of mentored me back in the day in Amsterdam. He's this radical, crazy evangelist, and he said, David, you need to be careful, because if you start taking on more and more responsibility in the ministry, more people are going to want you to go around talking about it, and instead of doing it. And it's like you can think that talking about it's the same as doing it, and not even, you know, you don't even realize it's happened to you. But also the other thing that you said and Chad said too was that you have to feel it. You know, you have to feel, and it's not. I think there is a similarity. You know, like these guys that do all this crazy stuff on YouTube and dare each other to, you know, whatever, do these adrenaline type risk things. I do think the similarity in that and this is you have to walk step through that because you don't you don't feel like it. But I think the more relaxed you become about it, the less of a big deal it is, becomes to you. Because the and you discover, man, it's not so hard, you know, and that's when everything becomes alive for me. And you know, after I talked, you know, with Damien at the Long Beach Cafe here in New Zealand, totally a guy knew nothing. After that, man, I was just like, my prayers that day were so much stronger. And I had a new amount of faith in my heart. You know, it's like, and like you said, I'm used to speaking in a lot of churches and shows and that kind of thing. So we got to do this, boys. This is important.
It's like what you were just describing, David, is so true. Like it seems to me like one of the most refreshing things for our faith. And actually, that totally relates to what you were saying as well, Chad. But the most refreshing thing for our faith is when we actually put it into action, where we go and we share it, share Jesus with people, where we, you know, put take those steps of faith and it refreshes us. Like sometimes we can be feeling like, oh, man, I'm not kind of what you were describing, Chad, like, oh, I'm not. Not really as passionate about following Jesus or knowing Jesus more as I was a while ago. And sometimes it's because we've just got into a you know, a rut of just doing stuff and not really seeking God or not taking steps of faith. And for me, I think for me, the thing that is most refreshing for my faith is when I get the opportunity to share Jesus like that with somebody, whether it be in a concert or in a day to day like that. It really, really is radically refreshing to our faith.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that there is a degree of human nature and some human principles in this. I think that you'll probably find that it is not just a spiritual reality where people like to talk about these things more than do it. I mean, I think a lot of people, you know, they like to read books on nutrition or working out or marriage or go to conferences about discipline and doing all these different things. But really, it often feels like the people that are accomplishing things in life, we want to project that it's because of amazing things that they're doing.
Right.
Because in a weird way, that allows us to idolize them, but also distance ourselves from them. Like, wow, they're doing these incredible things that are unattainable. When the truth is, people that are doing extraordinary things are often just doing the following through on the simple things. They're just actually doing the things that so many people talk about. Hmm. Right? There's an element of just doing the simple things because the things of our faith are difficult to do, but they're not complicated, right? To seek God desperately, to say, I'm going to get up and I'm going to seek God for an hour, or to say that I'm going to, when God puts a stranger next to me, I'm going to just go for it. None of these things are necessarily extraordinary or complicated. They're actually quite simple. And really, ultimately, probably the division between those that do a lot and those that unfortunately talk a lot and end up having quite a bit of regret is just doing the simple things that are laid out right in front of me. Isn't that part of this?
I mean, there's no coincidence that for more than a year, I've struggled to love Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then the 1 week where I'm like, you know what? David challenged me. All right, I'm going to step up to the plate and I'm just going to go for it. And I'm just going to see what happens is the week where it's like, man, dude, not only did I take risks, not only did I tell people about Jesus, not only did I see miracles and experience God in ways I haven't in a very long time, but it's like my devotional life came alive. My desire to read the word came alive. Mm-hmm. All these other tangential, is that the right phrase?
Yeah.
And all these other areas begin to come to life. And yet, through it all, every day, there at least once, if not many times, the thought, the feeling comes over me, Chad, you don't have enough courage to love people like Jesus does today. Can maybe David, can you just pray for people that like me might be in their own situation? Like, man, I don't love the Lord the way that I used to. And it's maybe this conversation even is hard for them to hear because they might feel that pressure or like the, you know, because what we're not saying is just go like, dude, just do it because it'll work. What we're saying is, man, begin believing that Jesus wants to flow through you way more than you want him to. So I don't know. That was on my heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, one thing before that, and I'm not sure if Luke or Ben, if you want to say anything more about this, but One of the things I was talking to a friend of mine here in New Zealand who listens to the podcast, and he said that one of the things that was really encouraging to him was to hear how you guys were just talking about how you struggle, you know, with this. Mm-hmm. And it was, he said, kind of like what you said, Chad, it's like you can, or maybe it was you, Ben, you can just put people on kind of a pedestal and think, well, that's just how they're wired. That's just how God has gifted them. He's not. And so you kind of take yourself off, you know, it's, God would not be asking me to do this because they don't have normal struggles like I do. And yeah, and he was, exactly. Yeah. And he was saying it was kind of important for him to see that there's nothing unusual about Chad. He struggles and he's, you know, he is hard for him, but he pushes through. And that is the difference. You know, it's not mm-hmm. about being superhuman or anything. It's just about pushing through and saying, okay, yeah. You know, even though I have shaky knees and a weak voice, I'm going to do this. And
yeah,
and so, do you want to say anything?
And not, well, I was just going to say, and not, it's difficult because as I often say, we hold many different things in tension in our faith, in that we don't diminish the need to tell people about Jesus, to use your life in a radical way. Those things are absolutely important, while at the same time, that is not why you're valuable. That is not why Jesus loves you.
That's good.
That isn't even where you get your, I don't even think your deepest sense of longing is satisfied in the accomplishment of the things that God, even the valuable things that God has for you. I think that is only satisfied in that deep personal relationship. And then it's just kind of, to me, it's like, when you begin to foster that private world, that intimate place with Jesus, your understanding of who he is and what he wants for you continues to grow. You get a sense, a deepening sense that he is for me and he loves me. And I think the natural response to that in time is, whatever you want me to do, first of all, I want to do because I love you. But second of all, I want to do because it's going to be the best for me. It's not this thing that you just feel obligated. We're selling ourselves short of the fullness of what God has for us by not participating in all of what he has for us to do. I think that's what it comes down for me, is that it's more of a coach that wants to get the best out of you than sort of just a dictator that is making you perform all of these duties to earn his love. And so the thing I often say is this isn't about condemnation. This is an appeal to not waste your life. Mm-hmm. This is an appeal to get all of what God has for you. He will love you, and you cannot add or detract from how much God loves you right now. But that doesn't mean you're necessarily getting or living in a way that maximizes what God has for you. I think those are distinct things that we have to hold in tension. And it's important to believe both, because I think people can pivot to one end of the extreme and feel like, oh, well, I'm not worth anything. Not what we're saying. Or if I do these things, I'm better, or now I'll be more valuable. Not what we're saying. I think this is more of a, look, strive for this because it's the best. And yes, you will fail. I fail all the time, but it is the best. When I lay in bed at the end of a night at tour, and when I had the privilege of sharing Jesus with someone, that is an awesome tiredness. Mm-hmm. That is a tiredness of, this is why I'm here. Yeah. I don't feel that tiredness after a day on the beach and, you know, eating a great buffet. It's not the same kind of tiredness. Mm. I'm not trying to judge that, but it's not. Mm-hmm. There is a deep satisfaction in saying, this is why I'm here. Mm-hmm. All of the difficulty involved, this is what I'm made for. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I think maybe part of what we're saying as well is normalizing God's power in our life, in the sense of being constant to it, you know, not, again, it's romanticizing this stuff. It doesn't help. That's what puts the pressure on. That's what makes me think, oh, I'm not going to do what those guys are talking about. I need to realize, first of all, what you're saying, David, that the four of us here and any man or woman of God who's done great things for God struggles with the same things everybody else is struggling with. Getting up and praying today, you know, reading the word, being constant in those things, seeking God, being obedient when I'm challenged, like what Chad just shared. All those things are things that we struggle with and that others struggle with. And so we need to not romanticize what it means to serve God and to see him move in power. We need to recognize that it's being that we all struggle with the same things. We all have the same weaknesses. The difference is whether we're going to get up and be obedient to the things that God is calling us to do day by day. Are we going to be constant in those things? Are we going to fight the good fight? And that's what we need to do. I really believe. And yeah, I struggle with those things as well. I struggle. Some weeks I look back and I go, man, I didn't even pray properly this week. How can I expect to see God moving in my life if I, you know, I struggle with those basic things? So I have to keep challenging myself to look to Jesus, to be constant in Him, and to be obedient, to step up when He calls me to do something.
Yeah.
And the icing on the cake to saying yes to God and to a renewed hunger and like, Jesus, that you really are everything I want. Please get any other distraction out of my way. Is that He begins popping opportunities off in our lives that we couldn't have forced or couldn't have produced no matter what we did. So yesterday, I'm getting coffee at a university here in town with a friend, and the barista brings us our coffees, puts them down, and she says, "Hey, excuse me, I know this sounds a little weird," and I'm like, huh, that sounds a lot like what I do, you know, before I'm about to take a risk. and she just said, hey, I feel horrible. I have this blaring headache and I just feel sick all over and I want to go home. And I felt like God told me to come talk to you two and ask you to pray for me.
Wow.
And I can tell you that in all my years of taking...
It's a reverse, right, reverse chat.
Exactly. In all my years of taking risks, never once has someone come up to me and said, "Hey, I don't know you from Adam, but I want you to pray for my headache right now." And so we prayed, and of course she got instantly healed. The Lord gave us words for her. She's super encouraged. And the whole conversation turned to, like, she said, "You know what I really want, even more than my headache healed, is I want greater courage in the Lord. I want greater boldness in the Lord." And that those kind of conversations and moments happen because I'm waking up saying, "Jesus, it's 5:30. I'm tired. I'd rather just lay here. But man, I said I wanted you more than anything. Help me." And so in the secret place and in that the closet, so to speak, I think is where the Lord is so honored by our pursuit. And then it's like all the cool conversations and Jesus moments flow so much more naturally.
Yeah. Well, I have like a couple of things, and obviously this was not what we expected to talk about, and we're clearly not going to do David's random story because that would make absolutely no sense contextually. Sorry, David, you can save it for next week. I just want to say a few things, and then I do actually think, David, you guys could react to what I'm saying, and then David, you could wrap us up in prayer. I think that would be good. I think one thing is I had this funny moment where I was at a Starbucks and I was getting coffee for my wife and I, and the woman in front of me just paid for it for me. Never met me, just randomly paid for it, and just said, "You know, I just wanted to bless you." Like,
wow.
I was like, "Oh!" And like, I was just like, what was so interesting about that experience for me is I got to be on the receiving end of a Chad, and it made me realize, like, it was just a simple act, and it wasn't even necessarily nearly as profound or as intense as being prayed for. But what it produced in me was so powerful. Mm. I was like, it made me more bold. It made me want to tell other. It made me want to do something for someone else. It's like it changed my whole day. Mm-hmm. Like, this one really basic act made me. What that produced in me was incredibly powerful, even as it was incredibly simple. And it made me realize, I don't think one of the lies we probably believe is that even when they react strangely, that it's not making a difference.
Yeah.
That they don't, that it's not impacting them. And I think that's such a lie. Probably one of the greatest lies the enemy uses is that all what you just did there had no impact. And I think my little profound Starbucks moment, I think, proves that we probably have no idea what kind of impact it has most of the time, that we don't necessarily always get the hug and the thank you and the I'm healed, but it's probably just rocked their world in terms of just in the lonely world we live in with no community and people that go throughout most of their days. I mean, I'm giving a talk later tonight, and a study I was looking at said 1 in 4 Americans say that they feel like they are No, half of Americans feel like they're sometimes or always left out and alone.
Wow.
Mm. I mean, think about that crazy stat. Half of Americans sometimes or always feel left out or alone. You imagine the profound impact of someone coming up to them and showing genuine concern and taking that risk. I think we need to reject that lie that that's not having an impact.
Yeah.
I think that's a massive, massive part of this. I don't know if you guys want to respond to that before I kind of close, but that was something I felt like was kind of relevant to this discussion.
Well, I had a point. It's not necessarily directly linked to that, but as we're digging more into this whole thing of just, you know, following the challenges that God gives us and living it out day by day, maybe this is something only I do. I don't know if everybody does this, but often I'll put myself in a box of the ways in which God can use me, and I'll have a picture in my head of
definitely
even the kind of people I'm supposed to talk to, right? So because we're in a mission, Steiger, that's particularly focused on a certain demographic, I can often have it in my head that, like, okay, if I'm doing a show, then I can talk to people about Jesus, or if I meet a certain type of person, then I'll be able to relate to them so I can go and talk to them. And I found at different times in my life God challenging me in that, and I think it always is going to have to happen. But, you know, I mean, even like back in the days when I was in university, I felt God calling me to help people that were on the street. That was not something particular I felt called to do. And but one thing that's happened recently a couple of times is I'll come across somebody who's like, you know, a retired or older person, and I'll think like, oh, you know, I don't need to talk to them because that's not my thing, you know? And then God will...
They're not the global youth culture.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not numb.
And then I'll get totally challenged by it. Like, we were in Portugal with the band doing touring and stuff, and we did this kind of acoustic thing in the park, and it didn't go particularly well because we didn't really draw much of a crowd, and there weren't many of the kind of people that we were supposed to be talking to. But then after we did it, this elderly guy came over. He must have been like in his 80s. And he was like, why are you guys playing music here? And I didn't really want to talk to him. I just wanted to get on and do something else because I was like, you're not the kind of person I'm supposed to be reaching. So let me move on, you know? But he just kept asking me questions. And so I got into this conversation. And suddenly in the middle of it, I just got hit by this conviction that how limiting and how judgmental is it that I'm being, that I'm not willing to give the guy time and not, you know, and honestly engage with him. So I started to, you know, respond more to him and ask about him. And eventually we got really deep into conversation about his faith and about his whole life story and when he didn't experience God. And then I prayed for him and everything. And it was a really awesome moment. In fact, he even walked with us to the church we were going to and sat in the church service with us. It was really, really cool. And then one of the team guys took a photo when I was talking to him. And then afterwards, they posted as a joke, they posted like, Luke is reaching the global youth culture. And I was, you know, sitting talking with this guy. And I think sometimes we need to be just challenged in that area as well when it comes to doing what God's calling us to not put ourselves in a box or to not think that we only do certain things or that there has to be a particular atmosphere or environment or context for us to be bold and do the things that we're called to do. That God it doesn't work that way. He uses us however he wants to, with whoever he wants to. And so we've got to be a lot more sensitive to his guidance, to his spirit, and open to the way he wants to use us.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, sorry, go ahead, Chad.
I was just going to say the story you shared about Starbucks, you know, and that the way you felt after someone was kind enough to buy your coffee is so crazy because I feel like it's always a two-way street. You know, anytime I step out and I follow Jesus, whether the opportunity goes well or not, I always feel like, man, that... Thank you, Lord. Like that was what I should have done, even if it failed. And then the times I, on my way back from flying home, I was in the Delta Lounge in Chicago, and there was one of the people working there just stood out to me. This lady and I at first I was like, nah, I don't know what it is. I'm just weird. And so I just sat down and sipped coffee. And then before I left, I just felt again like she's like there she is, and she wasn't necessarily attractive, or there wasn't necessarily anything that drew me to her in terms of smiles or any of that. And I went up to her and I said, "Hey, I just feel like Jesus wants me to encourage you and wants me to remind you that he has such a huge love for you. And I just shared a few things, and she immediately starts crying is just like tears, you know, filling up her eyes and coming down. And I was just like, can I pray for you? And she's like, yes, please. And right after that, she says, I used to walk with Jesus and I stopped following Jesus. Wow. And everything you just told me is what I want in my life again. So it's crazy how
fire.
It's a two-way street, you know, like her reaction, how I feel. Anyway, sorry, David, you probably had something really good to say.
No, that
was me.
I just stole your thunder.
Chad. I think it was me you cut.
Oh, yeah, that's all right. Yeah, David, you're both long hair. You're both, you know, on the same side of my screen.
The last thing I want to say, and then we oddly enough should wrap up this very unplanned episode. This one really was more if Chad had a podcast.
Yeah,
you know, you never quite know where it was going to go, but here we are.
Here we are.
No, it's been awesome, honestly, and it's just a funny, quick response to that prayer I had before the podcast. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, so Dirk Bajant, one of our longtime listeners, contributor by way of Amazing Graphics.
Yeah. You should salute
frequent
him.
Frequent participator in our
salute
community.
Him. All
we
around,
salute
all
you,
around
Dirk.
Epic dude.
And I'm going to give you one of these.
And now the sun sets over Hunda la Hunda.
Dirk had a comment question related to our podcast about why should we go into the harvest and maybe why aren't as many people going into the harvest. And it relates also to today's conversation because he kind of wrestles with the idea of, you know, we kind of make categories out of it. There are some people that go, you know, they're like the professional, the full-time pastor, the preacher, the missionary, the worship leader. They, you know, that's the only way that you can serve God in a radical way, maybe kind of and diminishing the reality that a lot of people just have to have normal jobs, right? That it's not possible. We're all vocational. Not everyone can be that. So just kind of speaking sympathetically to the reality that some people can't live in a full-time missional reality. Does it look different for them? And how does it translate into a context where for them, it's going to be more of an organic thing in their regular life, in their lunch break, after. There's still a radical version for them, right? We're not suggesting that everyone needs to quit everything and become a full-time missionary, right, David?
Well, I mean, I know a lot of excuse me.
Are you dying?
it's very early for me. Anyway, I know a lot of pastors that don't have any kind of radical encounters with the Holy Spirit or church leaders, missionaries, and I know people who have quote unquote normal jobs who are just filled with the power of God and are just leading people to Jesus like crazy. I mean, like this guy I know that was a security guard at a grocery store in Amsterdam. You know, it was his job to make sure people didn't steal stuff out of the store, but he went to work every day and he thought, this is my mission field. And he just asked God, who was he supposed to lead to Jesus today in the store? And he was seeing, leading more people to Jesus than a lot of pastors I know. So I don't think it has anything to do with vocation, actually. In fact, I think there's this wrong idea about following Jesus, that it is like this thing that you go and get a degree in and then get a title and then you're somehow doing this.
Never quite get a missions degree.
Yeah, exactly. What? And so... So to me, that's not the point at all. It's
sorry,
it's not your job, whatever that is. And if God, you know, forces you into not having a normal job and you get supported to do ministry, that's kind of something you're like, I think, pushed into. But I don't think having a normal job has anything to do with it, actually. Does that make sense?
No. No, and that's that we kind of the whole myth of the spectator. That's I think part of what we are trying to dispel, right? Is that it is just for the chosen few. There's no such thing. And God calls and you know, there's people that are generous and they are called to partner with them financially, and that's how they're able to do it full time. But we're all tasked to be radical in our own context. I think that's the heartbeat of what we're trying to say,
right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. It is, and I think it's the theme of the podcast as well. When we say living for Jesus in a secular culture, I mean, this is what it's about. But what our secular society and around us needs the most is people that can be genuine and bold in their faith where they are, you know, and so people can actually relate to it again and understand that, you know, following Jesus isn't something from the past. It's not following a tradition or a religious kind of institution thing. It's something that is part of normal day life, and it's the supernatural happening in the natural, in the day to day, and realizing that God is real and He's around us and He's in everything we do.
Yeah,
and it all
absolutely
to me, it all just, you know, again using my own experience from this last week, I would say it's all for me. It was tied to two things: one, a genuine challenge from someone I respect and care for, and then two, really seeking God as the foundation for an exciting life of taking risks and loving people and talking about Jesus and praying and all those things. It's and I wonder. Yeah. Anyway, I'm really excited for what the Lord's going to do next in all of us.
Yeah. Well, that was perhaps tangential. In a macro sense, this entire podcast was unplanned. It was a very long punching through the awkward with Chad Johnson. It next week, that'll be the title.
Well, I was going to say, I'm curious about what title you're going to choose for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chad slowly, really subtly hijacked the entire podcast, and he'll take it over. It's a quiet acquisition.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we do appreciate you listening. And you know what? Ultimately, this is our hope, is that God would be in this, that He would inspire this. And I really do believe that this is the direction He wanted us to head in. So hopefully this has been an encouragement to you, not a sense of condemnation, but an inspiration that we all struggle. But God, if we are willing, He will equip us in our own context to experience what we read. And isn't that what it's about? It's not a dead tradition. It's, you know, that analogy that pastors use all the time. If you just have a river coming in but not out, it's a stagnant pond. You need to be, this stuff needs to matter. It needs to translate into your life. And I promise, you put yourself in some positions where God has to show up, you're going to pray a little different. You're going to start living a little different. When you start to experience God's power, and then you come back and you read the book of Acts, the whole thing becomes circular, and it feels your hunger to want to know more, to want to experience more, to want to grow in intimacy, because then it is what we say it is, not a dead tradition of the past, but a powerful God who's at work in the world. So that is our heart and our purpose. As I've continued to mention, if God is inspiring you through this and you want to be involved with us, there's many things you can do. But if you feel called to be involved with us, the first step for you is the Steiger Mission School, a 10-week school that we run out of Germany. An amazing time where people are gathered from all over the world, a time of seeking God, learning relevant models for evangelism and discipleship. Practical experience where you get to put this stuff into action, take some risks of your own, and it really is a launching place for reaching and discipling the global youth culture. So we suggest you check that out, steiger.org/SMS. Otherwise, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It was a bit different than we expected, but I hope it was encouraging nonetheless. And David's going to pray.
I was going to say, David's going to
pray. That's how we will end.
Lord,
thanks, Kippy, for the hand signals.
Lord Jesus, thank you for speaking to us. I pray for all of us and for all those listening that you'll help us to take that risk for you this week, that we will open our mouths and we will tell people about you. Lord, I know there's people listening who are you're really challenged by this, and I ask that you'd help them to now take those steps. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Thanks for listening, everyone. Talk to you next
time. Thanks, guys.
Love you.
Peace. See ya.
Love you too. See you guys.
Thanks for listening to Provoke and Inspire, the official Come and Live podcast. To hear past podcasts, go to comeandlive.com. Got a question for the guys? Send it in to provokeandinspire@comeandlive.com.